Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
A new sound, a new look, and a whole new way to bring you everything Buffalo Bills. Bills Wall of Famer Steve Tasker and the voice of the Bills, John Murphy, bring you One Bills Live. Weekdays noon to 3 right here on the home of the Bills, ESPN Rochester.
Yeah, when we're going to talk hockey in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia, really the name that tops the list, the guy that you hear during Amherst season here on ESPN Rochester, also from WGR, Brayton Wilson joining us in the sports bar and enjoying his time now that we're in the offseason. We'll get to the Amherst in a bit. First, Brayton, how have you been?
I'm good, guys. How's everything been with you down there, down the I-90?
You miss us, don't you, buddy?
I do. I miss you guys a lot.
We've got no shortage of news to get to with the Buffalo Sabres. Let's start with Ruotsalainen. The quest to sign all the Scandinavians continues. What do we know about the latest Buffalo Sabre, and are there conditions where we could actually see him skating for the Sabres or for the Amherst as soon as next season?
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot that we know about him other than this year he put up a career year with Ilves in the Finnish Liga, 21 goals and 42 points in 59 games. He's a bit small, just 5'8" and 178 pounds, but certainly he's a guy that is starting to come into his own professionally, and someone who, you know, despite his size and you know, just his small stature, he's a guy that was pretty good on faceoffs, and he's a pretty good playmaker. And judging by from what we heard from Joki Nevalainen, who's a Finnish prospect guy that is a writer for DaverProspect.com, he said that he's just a guy that, you know, he's a good playmaker. He's got a nice shot, and you know, he's coming into his own professionally, so. At least, there's a little bit of hope. And from what I was told, and from what my understanding is, that if he does not make the Sabres roster this year, he could obviously make the Sabres roster with a good training camp. But if he doesn't, the most likely path for him will be to go to Finland again and play for Ilves for one more season. Now, of course, Lance Lisowski from the Buffalo News then reported that there's the chance that Ilves could grant him permission to play in Rochester, so that would be a positive if that's the case. But if that's not the case, then he would have to play in Finland for his last season. Then once the season's over in the Finnish Liga, he's then eligible to be assigned to Rochester. So we could see him in Rochester next year, but then after next year, he's eligible to be in Rochester or Buffalo or wherever they want to put him full time, so he doesn't have to go back to Finland at all. So,
and it's a 3-year deal, right, Brayton? It's a 3-year deal that even if he doesn't play for the Sabres or Amherst next season, that still eats away from his 3-year deal, correct?
Yes, it does. He will have his first year burned on his entry level contract, but then, of course, in the final 2 years, he'll either be in Rochester or Buffalo.
Brayton Wilson, WGR. You also hear him during the Amherst season pre- and post-game intermission host here on ESPN Rochester. Brayton, when we were thinking about this coaching search for Jason Bottrell, we all thought, well, this is going to take a while, in part because maybe they want to see how this plays out with Chris Taylor. We might just have the wrong coach here. Is Jason Bottrell right now, for amongst other reasons, waiting to talk to Sheldon Keefe of the Marlies?
Yeah, it's interesting to see how everything's kind of playing out, just because, you know, I think if they had a guy, like if Dave Tippett, they thought Dave Tippett was the best option, I think they would have hired him by now. Wouldn't you guys think that? I mean, he's available. He's in North America. He's not doing anything right now. So that would be something, you know, that you would have to think about. But for a guy like Sheldon Keefe, I mean, obviously the success that the Marlies have had in the Calder Cup playoffs once again has just been absolutely incredible. They go out and, you know, they take care of Rochester fairly easily in the first round. And then in the second round yesterday, they were able to complete the sweep of Cleveland. Mm-hmm. So they're playing completely dominant right now, undefeated in the playoffs. And they're likely going to be facing Charlotte in the conference final. But Sheldon keeps an interesting topic of discussion because, I mean, it certainly seems like Toronto and Kyle Dubas, they don't want to lose Sheldon Keefe to anyone else. They'd rather have him, but yet they've got Mike Babcock as their head coach of the Maple Leafs. So it'll be interesting to see how that situation plays out. I'm sure that if Buffalo gets that opportunity to talk to Keith, that they would take it. But Elliot Freeman on Sportsnet 590 yesterday said that Keith probably wouldn't take a coaching situation in Buffalo, and the only way that he would leave is if, you know, he's, you know, going to a perfect ideal situation. And I mean, wouldn't you think Buffalo might be one of those situations? But nonetheless, I would hope that they get the chance to talk to Sheldon Keefe, just kind of gauge where he's at, where everything's going with his direction moving forward. But if they get the chance, take it. But I'm not sure where they're at this point.
Joined by Brayton Wilson in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia. Let's go back to Dave Tippett for a second, Brayton. You mentioned he's not doing anything right now, but he is kind of doing something, right? Isn't he aligned with the Seattle expansion team? Isn't he some sort of an advisor or have some kind of role there? And I guess to look into the crystal ball a little bit further, if Dave Tippett is not in Buffalo as your head coach, if he is your top candidate, but he says, nah, I'm not going to go to Buffalo, he would rather be a part of an expansion team than come and coach in Buffalo? I mean, is that an accurate read on the situation with Tippett?
I'm not entirely sure if he would rather stay in Seattle, just because I think from the reports that have been out there, it seems like he does want to get back into coaching, and maybe sooner or later, whether that is, you know, getting announced as the Seattle coach for the future. I mean, sort of similar to how everything played out with Vegas, with having George McPhee as the GM and then Gerard Gallant as the coach. But, you know, there's been some sort of speculation out there that maybe the Edmonton Oilers want to talk to him, see if he'd come in. And, you know, there's a couple of other teams that are interested, you know, that have openings for head coaching positions. So maybe Tippett's still the guy, but Jason Botterill wants to do his due diligence, and I totally respect that. But I mean, I think at this point, maybe, you know, it's tough to tell to this point, but, you know, Dave Tippett is in a pretty good situation with that Seattle franchise as an advisor. And if the opportunity comes up for him to maybe be the head coach, I think that would be a smart hire by Seattle to make him a head coach, just because he does have a pretty good track record in the past with the Dallas Stars and the Arizona Coyotes organization. So we'll see how that all plays out. But I feel like we're all kind of just going in circles here with this Sabres coach search, and we're trying to claw for answers here.
Yeah, and you guys had an interesting interview, Rickard Gronberg. Not necessarily. Yeah. The fact that he even spoke, Brayton, I'm trying to rack my brain. Anytime you've had a candidate go on the radio for any position, I don't know if that's just a cultural thing or is he just trying to really make it be known that he'd be interested? What do you make of Gronberg actually just accepting the interview, going on your station, GR? And what do you think about the possibility of him being a candidate for this coaching position?
Well, it's interesting with the Swedish culture. I don't know if culture is the right word, but I mean, even last year when Rasmus Dahlin was the top pick, and next thing you know, all of a sudden the Sabres win the draft lottery. He was granted permission to talk on our station with the Instigators, and it might be a little different with the Swedish culture and how they approach things from a PR standpoint. But certainly the conversation that we had with Gronberg was a very insightful and interesting one, just because he is a guy that seems very methodical with the way he approaches to his coaching personality and approaching himself in the hockey world. I mean, it seems like he's very well respected, not only in the international community, but also in the NHL, because his name has floated out there. He has interviewed with the New York Rangers last year when their coaching job was open. So, his name has made the rounds, and it's going to continue to make the rounds. And whether or not he actually is able to get hired as a head coach or an assistant coach, still to be known. But I mean, I was impressed with the way that he presented himself while talking with us, and the way that he talked about certain things, and his approach to analytics I thought was very insightful. And another thing that kind of intrigued me is that, you know, the thing that people like about him is that he does like to try and help players get better, even with the NHL players that are playing at the World Championship. He wants to help develop them and be the kind of a mentor, or you know, however you want to do that or call him. But when we asked him about some of the players that the Sabres had, like Victor Olofsson and Rasmus Dahlin, and some of the players that have actually played for him, he didn't even mention those guys right off the bat. The first player he even mentioned was Lawrence Pilot, and I thought that was pretty, you know, pretty impressive. That, you know, he seems like he's got a good grasp of what Buffalo has here, and obviously strong Swedish contingent here in the Sabres organization. But I thought it was pretty impressive. I was impressed with the way that he spoke and some of the things that he said. So I'd expect Jason Botterill to maybe have a conversation with him while they're over in Slovakia for the World Championship, and we'll see where it goes.
If you bring in Gronberg, you're probably going to upset a couple of guys in the locker room. If you bring in Tippett, you might upset some other guys in the locker room. Is it safe to say, Brayton, that regardless of who they bring in as their next head coach, that there are going to be a couple of guys on this team that are just flat out uncoachable?
Well, certainly. I think that happens in any situation. I mean, sometimes you get comfortable with one guy, and then other times, you know, when that guy gets fired and then you bring in another guy and they want to bring in their own philosophies or bring in their own mindsets of what they want to have as their team, some players might not get on board with it right away. It might take a little bit for the players of this locker room to adjust to having a guy like Gronberg in the locker room, a guy that has never had NHL coaching experience, but he's had plenty of experience coaching NHL players. So, and I think that's what makes this case interesting with Gronberg, because it seems like the Sabres wanted a veteran, experienced coach that has some sort of NHL experience. But Gronberg hasn't had any NHL experience in itself, but he has had experience coaching NHL players and having command of a room with players of that caliber. So that's what kind of throws a wrench into this whole coaching search situation and who the Sabres actually want to have as their coach. Maybe it's a big risk to hire Gronberg, but I mean, if he ends up being the guy that Sabres want the most out of any of them, I mean, go ahead and make the hire.
How long is this going to drag on? I mean, can you timeline this for us? Because I would have to think a few weeks before the draft, at least. If we get to the first week in June and there's no head coach, then I would be concerned. But unless you're telling me, no, don't worry about it, having a head coach before the draft a few weeks out isn't all that big a deal.
Well, I think it all depends on who they're actually interested in bringing in and hiring. If it's Sheldon Keefe and Toronto's going to continue to play the way they have and make it back to the Calder Cup final, we could be waiting till June. If it's Rickard Gronberg, maybe, you know, you wait until the end of the World Championship on May 26th, and later that week, Jason Botterill and Terry Pegula say, hey, you're coming back to Buffalo with us instead of, you know, going home or wherever you're going to go next. You're coming back to Buffalo. We're going to introduce you as the coach. Dave Tippett, again, it's probably going to have to wait until after the World Championship, because Jason Botterill is overseas right now, and I think if they make any hire, it's going to have to wait until the end of the tournament, but at the very least. So I'd expect it any time after the World Championship ends on the 26th and then heading into June. But certainly, hopefully, it's a situation where by the time that the World Championship ends, maybe they have it's down to one or two candidates.
Brayton, give us an update on how the Blues and the Sharks' postseason success affects the Sabres' first-round draft picks acquired from those teams, and what the Sabres are actually going to be looking at here come draft time.
Well, I'll put it plain and simple. I think the Sabres are going to pick no higher than 28th for their second first-round pick. They've already got the first one at 7th overall, but the second pick is going to be somewhere between 28th and 31. Obviously, if the Sharks lose tonight, then they'll be somewhere in the low to mid 20 area. So that'll obviously go to the Ducks, and then the Blues pick will end up going to Buffalo. And then at that point, we wait and see where the Blues end up finishing. If they go to the Cup final, then it'll be either 30 or 31. And if they win the Cup, it'll be 31, and we'll be the last pick in the first round. Certainly the loss yesterday doesn't help, because if the Blues had lost, they would have been at least guaranteed the 19th overall pick, giving Buffalo that pick, and then you'd automatically give the Ducks the San Jose Sharks pick. But, you know, the Blues last night, they dominated the Stars. And this was a series that I thought the Stars looked like the better team for most of the series. Game six, the Stars put up a decent performance, but the Blues got the goals. And then last night, the Blues were all over the Stars on home ice. They had the advantage. And that double overtime goal, it's an unfortunate situation for Ben Bishop, because the puck hits the post. He feels it go off his back, and then he's kind of, I don't think he knows what to do, because the puck, he has no idea where it's going to go or where it actually is. And the next thing you know, Maroon finds it right in behind, and he just pokes it in. But for the Sabres pick, though, I mean, it's expected to be anywhere between 28 and 31, and then the other pick is going to be going to the Ducks.
Do we have to root for Colorado? Because every other scenario here, Brayton, no more Boston teams winning. Carolina, I'm not over 06. I don't want to see Evander Kane hoist the cup and neither Ryan O'Reilly. So go Avs, I guess?
I mean, unless you want to see J.T. Comfer and Nikita Zadorov lift the Stanley Cup.
Oh, forgot about
that. You're not offended by that? These Stanley Cup playoffs have kind of been very meh. I mean, in today's terms, just especially the Eastern Conference Final, I have no rooting interest whatsoever just because I really don't like the Bruins. I don't want to see another Boston team win a championship. Carolina, I get it. They're riding the high of the bunch of jerks thing, and you know they've been counted out for most of the year. And look at them—they're winning, and they're actually playing fun hockey. And I just can't get on board with that. I'm not going to call them a bunch of jerks for it, but I'm just one of those guys that I don't necessarily believe in what that whole story has been like. It's complicated, but it's sort of like the fans didn't show up for a while, but then all of a sudden they start playing well again. And obviously that's going to be the case with everyone. But with the way that they reacted, I almost thought it was kind of cheesy or for fake almost. But I digress with that. But, yeah, the Western Conference playoff picture is going to be interesting. You got the Blues, obviously, in the next round. And tonight's Game 7 between the Sharks and the Avalanche. Kind of a toss-up. I mean, I'm fine with whoever wins, but at this point I'm kind of kind of leaning more towards the Western Conference team. The Western Conference hasn't won a Stanley Cup in a while since the Blackhawks.
Brayton, thanks for bringing that up, Brayton. I'm wondering, we've got less than 2 months to go before NHL free agency. How's the construction of your Jeff Skinner fear bunker going?
it's halfway built there, and you know, I'm taking it day by day at this point. We're maybe there's just more that I'll add here and there to the bunker, but the promising thing for me that it seems like, and from everything that I think you've heard and that I've heard, it just seems like it's term. It's not money. I don't think there's any problem with that. It's more about term. Do they want to give him a 5-year deal? Does Jeff Skinner want an 8-year deal, or however that is? I think that's where it's going to be, is because, you know, maybe Jeff Skinner wants the 8 years because it's his last deal and he wants to get paid and he wants to have that security. Whereas the Sabres might see it as, okay, well, what happens if you get 5 years into your deal and you know, something happens where, you know, your play starts to drop off drastically, kind of like what happened with Kyle Oposo recently, and the production hasn't been there, and you know, we're wasting money on a guy that isn't producing as much as we need him to, and it's unfortunate that way. But maybe the Sabres see it that way, and they don't want to get into a situation like that, whereas Jeff Skinner, you know, he's banking on himself to continue his strong play, and I admire Jeff Skinner for that. So we'll see how it continues to play out. I'm not necessarily panicking as of right now, but probably the sooner we get to June and as we go towards July 1st, that's when things will start to get a little antsy around here.
Brayton, we haven't talked since the Amherst season ended. To me, this year felt much different than last year. The season ended last year, and like, well, that was a learning experience. See you next year, everyone. To me, I just thought the fan base was a little angry this year, but you're running into Toronto, then the breaks. When you look back now, you've had some time to reflect. What are your thoughts on how the season ended for the Amherst?
Well, I certainly think it was a disappointing end for them. It's certainly not a happy ending to a season that was really promising. You finished as the third best team in the league, the second best in the division. And I mean, obviously Syracuse is a good team in itself and they lost too. But with this Rochester team, they had the pieces. They have the weapons to make that deep run. And they ran into a Toronto team that had luck on their side and they were able to get some stellar goaltending when they needed it. And Kazimier Kaskisuo came up with some incredible saves and some of Rochester's top talents. The defense looked all right at times, but, you know, the goaltending was a question as well. Scott Wedgwood had some instances where he gave up a couple goals where you've got to make a stop on those, especially in the postseason. And those are the ones that Kazimier Kaskisuo wasn't getting in the regular season, and he was getting in the postseason. And sometimes maybe that's just luck, and other times, you know, maybe that's just not playing at the right time, not getting the bounces to go your way. It was frustrating because I thought the first game they played extremely well in the opening 20 minutes. Then they unfortunately fell back and lost that first game, and they probably deserved to lose that one. The second game, they had a lot more bounces go their way once again, and the puck just still couldn't find the back of the net. It was an unfortunate and frustrating circumstance because this team was creating chances and they were doing the right things. And then next thing you know, they score in overtime to take a 2-0 series lead. And then the third game, I just think they didn't show enough desperation from start to finish. They came in the final period to show some desperate hockey, but when you're down 2-0, you can't be desperate for one period and then expect to have success that way. So, I mean, I don't know how you want to call this a learning experience. I think this was just a missed opportunity and some unfortunate luck. But, next year there's going to be some changes with this team. Maybe Victor Olofsson's going to be in Buffalo, and a couple of other guys are probably going to be wherever they are next year. And, it's all about how Randy Sexton and Jason Botterill are going to build this team next year. And maybe Chris Taylor will be the head coach. Maybe he won't. But, this team's still going to get some nice, decent assets. They're going to get some key players that are still developing. And I mean, there's going to be players that will step it up next year and play even better. I look at a guy like Rasmus Asplund as a guy that can maybe step up next year and play a bigger role for this team. Will Borgen's probably going to be another guy that will step up. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen is going to be coming in, and he's going to be expected to compete for the starting job once he's healthy from his surgery. So, again, disappointing end to this season, and hopefully next year they're able to bounce back and win a playoff series.
Well,
get a playoff win, actually.
Brayton, it was a great season. It was a lot of fun. It was great having you on board for the entire season, and we hope you get the chance to enjoy some downtime here in the off season. Look forward to talking to you again real soon. You can follow him, by the way, on Twitter at BJ Wilson WGR. Brayton Wilson, Amherst host here on ESPN Rochester, also WGR in Buffalo, our guest. Good times. Thank you, my friend.
Mike, Gene, thanks again for everything, and really had fun this season, and looking forward to next season already, and looking again to get the chance to talk to you guys and be back in the studio.
Love it. Sounds good, Brayton. Enjoy your summer, and I'm sure we'll talk when the Sabres hire someone.
Oh, yeah, we'll get Brayton on again soon. Brayton, good as always with his time here in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia, and if you came in late, we'll get it for you on demand shortly at the radio.com app. If you just search out the Sports Bar, all of our highlights right there in one place, one neat little package for you. For you to listen at your leisure. I'll drink to that is on the way next, Gene.
Yeah. there's an interesting debate online I think I want to take to the air regarding the DNC's coverage or lack thereof of a Rochester team, the Red Wings and the Amherst for that matter. I'm going to weigh in here in regards to what should be done.
Did you see that the Seahawks now are the front runners to land Ziggy Ansah, which we kind of heard rumors that they would be, but the Bills supposedly still in the hunt for Ansah. I'm going to tell you why you shouldn't panic if it is indeed the Bills who do not land Ziggy Ansah in free agency.
Okay.
That's on the way. I'll drink to that. The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action. From AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.